From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, a TV critic watches hours of personal finance shows to tell us which are worth your time and money.
But first, when Wall Street collapsed, Americans got religion. No more spending sprees. Saving every penny has become the new sexy. With me now is Christy Pearson Woolwin. She's 45 years old and became a saver 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, Christy, Wall Street was, well, it was doing really well. Why did you begin saving then when you weren't saving earlier?
Well, I just really had an epiphany and thought, you know, I was living on the ragged edge of my finances, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't balance my checkbook. Checks were bouncing. I was in debt, and I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I've got a life to live.
Uh-huh. And so you were basically living beyond your means.
I was living beyond my means, and I've always worked hard, and I've got a graduate degree. And, I mean, I was doing the right things, except I wasn't thinking well about my finances, wasn't able to sort of figure it out. And so I had to create strategies in my life that worked for me to get balance back into my life.
And tell us some of the things that you did. What are some of your tips?
Well, I worked on, number one, I faced them. I looked at all the debt I had. I looked at, you know, how my checking account was running. I thought, you know, I've got to create strategies. So my number one strategy was looking at all my debt, and I, you know, took the ones that were the lowest balance. So my store cards were the lowest balances. And I just paid the other ones, you know, on time and with a minimum, but paid over the amount on the small ones, on the store cards. Got those paid off and closed the account. And then got the next one, focused on the next one, and focused on the next one. And then, and the big cards, you know, the Discover and the MasterCard were at one point $10,000. So I looked at that, said, I have X amount of money to pay off that. I'm going to divide that by how many months I want to pay it off, and just really dedicated to paying those off. I teach in the evening, took that money and just dedicated it to paying it off.
So it sounds like a lot of discipline on your part.
I guess it was discipline, and
maybe to make up for the lack of discipline.
I guess it was.
Well, so do you feel deprived at all? Do you feel like, gosh, I'm just not living the high life anymore?
No,
and I really miss.
No, in fact, I feel the opposite. I feel like I am so free now, because before it feels like this huge cloud over you, and you feel like I'm just not in control of this. I don't have a sense of this, and it feels frustrating, and you feel incompetent, and you feel it's a huge shame. You know, I had a graduate degree, had a successful job, and I couldn't quite figure this out, this area of my life out.
So you used to be many tens of thousands of dollars in debt. Now, how much are you saving every month?
Probably about $200 a month, something like that. Just able to take that money and put it in pure savings. I also, you know, with my employer, I have a 403B, and, you know, I have savings that way. But this is just pure rainy day cushion money.
You became a saver 5 years ago, so that means you were in debt for most of your adult life.
Yeah.
What would you splurge on? What would you spend your money on?
It was the trip to Target or to Walmart or, you know, scrapbooking, that I would just, you know, spend $150 easily, $200 easily, several times a month. And, yes, some of the items were necessities, but some of them weren't necessities. And I could very easily diddle a lot of money away very quickly. Those were my downfalls in terms of spending too much and not saving enough.
Christy Pearson Woolwind is a successfully reformed spendthrift living in San Diego, California. Christy, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so that's one story from someone who saves. What about the rest of us? With me now is Richard Thaler. He's a professor of behavioral science and economics at the University of Chicago, also co-author of the book Nudge, Improving Decisions About Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, now, we have long bemoaned in this country that we are not a nation of savers. Now people are beginning to save because they really don't have much choice if they've got extra money, because putting it in the stock market, they're going to lose a lot of money. So does this crisis give us an opportunity to change our habits and once again become a nation of savers?
I definitely think yes. I think that we need, as a society, to change our habits. The crisis that we are now in emerged because collectively we all spent beyond our means.
Now, a lot of people say, a lot of economists say, it's probably not a good idea for us to become like Japan and become a nation of savers because, after all, consumer spending makes up 70% of our economy. And if we're not out there buying things, how can the economy recover?
I think the most we can hope for is that we become less a nation of debtors. The national saving rate for the last few years has been essentially zero. In December, it jumped to 2 or 3%. This is not Japan. So I think that what's true is that households throughout the 90s and the first part of the century were living beyond their means. So I think we're going to see a period of a few years of retrenchment in consumer spending, and that may prolong this recession. It won't prevent it from stopping, but it may last a bit longer than it might. But that's necessary. We can't sustain an economy where we spend $102 out of every $100 we make.
I'm wondering, the last time that we were faced with such a grave economic crisis, most people say, was back in the Great Depression, when people did save and learn how to save. And did we see a mass behavior change as a result of the Great Depression?
Well, I think there is some evidence that people who lived through the Depression were permanently prudent. Now, it's very difficult to determine cause and effect in these kinds of things, but there is some evidence for that in the data. For example, if you look at the data, say in 1980, people who were going into retirement at that time had no mortgage debt to speak of. People would take out a mortgage and they would pay it off. And certainly in my parents' generation, paying off the mortgage was one of the big goals in life. That seems to have completely vanished in the last 20 years. You see people in their 60s with taking out new 30-year mortgages. So I think we do need to establish a new or old, if you will, set of norms that where people do strive to pay off their mortgages before they retire, so at least they have their home equity to help finance their retirement. And keep in mind that we live longer than our parents or grandparents did, and so we need to save even more rather than less. But I do think that we do slowly learn lessons. We won't repeat exactly the same mistake. So another real estate boom and another boom of home equity financed consumption, we probably won't have another one of those for a decade. But what will happen after that? People do have short memories. And we used to laugh at our parents who lived through the Depression. And I think people in their 20s now may be, people in their teens now will be laughing at the old folks that will be in their 30s who are living responsibly and not knowing what they're talking about.
Richard Thaler teaches economics at the University of Chicago. He's also co-author of the book Nudge, Improving Decisions About Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
In these dire economic times, many of us are trying to figure out what to do with our money. Sure, you could pay someone for advice or troll through thousands of websites in hopes you'll find the answer to your specific question, or you could turn on the TV.
This show is all about you taking charge.
This is where you put your money in and it grows.
You're getting taxed up the wazoo. So
he has no idea how bad it is out there. He has no idea.
Hold your hot dog, because here comes a scoop of chili cheese advice.
Okay, that last one was a joke. That's Kristen Wiig on Saturday Night Live spoofing Susie Orman. All kidding aside, though, TV is filled with personal finance shows now more than ever. Slate's Troy Patterson has been watching, and he joins us now with his review. Hi, Troy.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You know, as you write, there are a lot of new shows out there. Tell us about some of those.
There is indeed the vicious downturn in the economy has been accompanied by an upswing in personal finance television. Shows that just came to the air in January include The Clark Howard Show, which is on HLN, which is what we used to call CNN Headline News. A couple weeks after that debuted, the Fox Business Network brought us Your Questions, Your Money, sort of a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, four-hour extravaganza where anchors and panelists sit in the studio and ask questions, you know, about macroeconomics and home economics, and they range from the insightful to the inane, both the queries and the answers.
And it's okay to sit with a good friend or with your pastor and just have a good cry.
For my money, the most interesting of them all is the Dave Ramsey Show, which is on Fox Business again.
Why Dave Ramsey? What do you like about him?
Well, he's got this sort of no-frills, down-home style. He's really captivating this way. And there's something a bit, not a bit, but frankly, evangelical about what he's doing.
And I'm going to challenge you on a spiritual level to redefine what you call life.
What is his catchphrase? That the paid-off home mortgage has replaced the BMW as a status symbol of choice.
And what about some of the old standards, guys like Jim Cramer, as you mentioned, his show Mad Money? Do you sense any tone shift now that the economy has turned?
Absolutely. You know, there's this way in which Jim Cramer's whole shtick, arm-waving, ear-splitting, stock-tipping act. He is kind of like a human bubble in that respect. So he's these are tough times for him.
My people have been in this game for 25 years, and they are losing their jobs, and these firms are going to go out of business, and he's nuts! They're nuts! They know nothing!
Cramer.
Choi, you have watched now hours and hours of these shows. Do you feel like there's any really strong, solid, important financial advice in the midst of all of them? Are these shows serving a purpose?
I don't know. For one thing, I think they function almost kind of like little therapy sessions. They give people hope, the sense that they do have some control over their destiny and that the world isn't as scary as it sometimes seems.
Choi Patterson is Slate's television critic. Thanks, Choi.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us on Day to Day from NPR News.